8. Can we examine, you've now been a prisoner from almost a year.
Yes.
In effect.
Yes.
Was the camp organization more improved from what it had been in the early days?
Yes. Oh, yes. You're gradually getting there. You had a chap cut the hair, and we had a chap cobbled the boots, and we had an organization, and we had... Well, we didn't get paid, but we were getting occasional Red Cross. Very, very rare. Things like that.
And how were they given out to you? Obviously, they came to the Germans, did they? And they didn't give them out to you.
Oh, yes. And they were...
Was that improved from one between 12
and... Oh, yes. They weren't addressed individually, but they were addressed to the senior British officer. See? And we were... There was four companies in this barrack block, and we were on the top floor, like I think it was third floor, top floor or something. And we were specifically working for the German army. Not like the other chaps, just working anywhere they were, you know. And one day, we went out on a truck. You change working parties, you know. And we rushed to go on this truck. And we travelled 14 kilometres out into the country. And we must have been building some German army posts way out in the country, wooden huts and that. And we were clearing the ground for that. And there was a woman, cook, a Polish woman there, cooking for the workers. And at midday, you got this bowl of soup, and it was brought out in a wash basin. You know, you use enamel wash basins. It was mostly just potato water, like. And you had to get on your knees and scoop it up as fast as you could, about four of you at the one basin. All just like dogs, you know. But anyway, we used to volunteer for that. That was extra grub, that. And that went on for a while. And then we were on various other jobs. Now, you used to go in the German barracks. And sometimes, you know, you would move beds around or things like that. And when you met when the German soldiers were in the barracks, they weren't bad to you. They were understood your prediction, and they were going. They would give you the soup if it was rubbish, you know, sauerkraut. None of the Germans liked that, and they would give you the sauerkraut. Why, we didn't like it either, but it was better than nothing. So sometimes the Germans' rations used to come in, their bread. Loaves of bread. And the idea was, underneath the barracks, all built the same way, they had the bread cellar. Because bread was the main thing in the German army. Had this bread cellar and these brown loaves. And the idea was, the chap in the German in the wagon would load you up, you lined up, load you up, 10 loaves. See? And the chap in the store, 10 loaves, see? But what they didn't realise was, when you were coming back empty, you were meeting a chap going down with 10 loaves, and they vanished. So you just joined the empty queue back again, and you all had a loaf put away. What we used to do, we used to carry our overcoats on your arm with a loaf stuffed down the sleeve, see? And even on a cold day, we were walking with our overcoats on our arms to hide this loaf, stuffed in the sleeve anyway. So that was one way around it. And you got very good. You got very good at nicking stuff off the Germans, you know. Then let's say, no, there was working at this hospital once again, and there was a German officer. There was about five of us, probably, and a German officer came to us and said, "Follow him." We followed him, and he took us down into the hospital kitchen, and there was Polish women there, and we all got a bowl of soup, and he did that day after day, and I've thought about it since. He must have been a German doctor in uniform, and he just took pity on us. I met a chap in that hospital, actually a patient in the hospital, and he was out the Luftwaffe. And he wrote to me when the war was over, but it just fizzled out. That's
were you expected to do a certain amount of work per day?
Not really. It was just you were on various jobs. You know, you
work. So you could work as fast or as slow as you wish.
More or less, aye. They weren't strict with you. They would just give you a job and let you get on with it. Of course, you had to keep working. You couldn't stop or anything like that. You had to keep working.
What time would your working day start?
Well, I couldn't say exactly. It was early morning, you see, and all you had was this drink of ersatz coffee. And then you got your soup at night that you didn't get while you were out, you see.
After you'd finished your working stint for the day and you got back to how did you feel the rest of the evening?
Well, you just, you were left to your own devices. You just sat and chatted. Oh, we got, we had library books by then, see?
And would these come from the Red Cross?
I imagine they would do. And you just lie on your bed and read. It was just the popular pastime, that sort of thing. And I think lights out used to go about 9 o'clock, I think, something like that.
Did you get a rest day during the week?
Oh, no, there was no rest days. Just a minute, I'm not sure on that one, whether we rested on a Sunday or not. But
you didn't have some kind of religious church parade? Or
no, nothing like that, no. No, and we went out to... I think we went out every day. I don't think there was any days off. And by that time, the Polish winter had gone on, you know. And where have I missed?
You're still working in the hospital area, the German hospital area.
Aye, that must have been... early 42, I think. No, well, we haven't got over 41 yet, have we?
Well, we've got as far as the beginning of coming up to the Russian invasion by the Germans.
Aye, that was in 41. And then at that time we were sent out, there was no blackout. Just, and we were always floodlit at night. We never went out at night on working jobs. And we were just like goldfish in a bowl, sort of thing. And we went out, we on the German train fields. I've seen the Germans on manoeuvres, you know, we used to see them. And there was old, what must have been belonged to the Poles, ammunition dumps, way out on the training ground. These would be Polish training grounds that were earlier Prussian training grounds, whichever ruled the country. And they had like a kind of, it wasn't steel, it was like a sort of rustless steel, like a kind of alloy of some sort. And it was sunk into the ground, and it was an area chiller around these ammunition. We had to dig them out, and they were brought in to the barrack gates of the various barracks for the German sentry to get in, because they were expecting the Aryans from Russia. They never got them, because when he advanced into Russia, he knocked out the Russian Air Force. I think all the war, we had very little Russian interference.
You must have seen a great deal of troop movements to the east.
Yes, we saw them regularly, battalions marching down with a band to the railway station, and into the same damn cattle trucks. Of course, they were stuffed with straw, and they had little stoves in going up the Russian front. And also, the Russian, the Jewish, way to the concentration camp. We saw them going.
Did you know what was happening at that time?
We had a vague idea. They were going to concentration camps. We didn't exactly know they were being destroyed or anything like that. They were actually on the way to Auschwitz.
And this would be men, women and children?
Well, we couldn't see them. They were in this truck. And the little letter one was about that size. And it was dropped to let air in. But it was barbed wire over. Thick barbed wire. Nobody could put stuff in or feed them or anyway, you know. And we often saw them going up the line. No, where are we? We're still in 41, yes. And as the year got on, let's say about late July, August, we were sent away to a place in the north. This was in Prussia, East Prussia. And we were sent onto the farms there. This was 41. And we did get fed there, you know, on the farms.
What work were you doing on the farms?
Farm work, general farm work. I learned how to milk a cow. That's one thing I never learned. And we couldn't, they were Polish speaking, you know.
Were these Polish Germans in effect? The German
Polish Germans, aye. They could speak Polish or German. I mean, one of the chaps off the farm went into the Luftwaffe and he spent all his leave cleaning out the cows and the pigs and that sort of thing. That was his leave when he come out the Luftwaffe.
How many of you would be on one farm? For example, on your own farm, how many were there working there?
Well, there was 10 of us in this little village. And we were split up in twos and threes. And two of us went onto this farm. And he was, he'd been in the First War in the German army, this chap. And his son was on the farm, big, thick-set fella. But he was never called up. He must have kept him on the farm. Because they had to supply grain and things like that. And one day the farmer took me on his cart with some sacks of grain off the farm to the mill. And in return, he'd come back with sacks of flour because they used to bake their own bread. And when we got off the cart, he says, come on. And he took me into a pub, you know. Well, I looked a bit of a mess, you know. This old cart he had worn all the same time, and this old blue coat and a Polish hat on with the old Polish cavalry hat on and a pair of wooden soled clogs sort of thing. And they said, who's he? When I went into the, he was going to get us a drink in his pub. And they said, who's he? And he said, he's an Englander. Proud. Out. Very well, chucked me out of there. So, anyway, I didn't get a drink. But we came. And there was 10 of us in this house, little small house, that was divided into 4 pieces. Well, about the size of this room, the 10 of us slept. Then a little passage, and then the guard slept in a room there. And at the front was two other rooms with two German families in, see, that used to work on the farm.
Were you sleeping on beds?
I was sleeping on, wasn't a bed, it was just a wooden structure with wood boards, see. And there was no discipline then, because the guard had no officer. He was on his own, he was his own boss, and he didn't bother about you. He was more or less interested in walking around. He didn't even come and visit you on the farms, see. But you were too far away to escape.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about escape possibilities.
I mean, thousands of miles each way, you see.
And no one tried to escape?
Not there, no. You thousands of miles off anywhere. And then...
And you said the food on the farm was better than what you'd been getting?
Oh, yes, there was ample food on the farm. It was rye bread, you know. And you used to get plenty to eat on the farm.
Were you still getting Red Cross parcels through to you?
Oh, very rarely. Yeah, I think we got one lot on the farm. But most of the time, you know. And one day, we said, right, we'll have a feast. Everybody on the one different farms, try and bring a chicken in. So, I had this chicken, hard nicked, under my coat. And this old blue German coat. And I had two rows of buttons. And I had put a third row in so I could open the coat out and hide stuff underneath. And here was this. They used to shake hands with you, the farmer, when you left at night. He would say, shaking hands. This bloody chicken I thought was going to drop onto the floor. Anyway, we had a few chickens and we hung them up right to come when we got back. And the guard came in. He says, wood pigeons. He knew we were chickens, you know. But he was quite content. He knew he was going to get his share and he didn't. And he was after one of the local German girls in the village, see.
Were you able to cook yourself in your accommodation?
Aye, we had a stove and make a cup of tea. That's about the limit, you know. There was nothing, you know, your Red Cross didn't last you all that long, see. And when we had no Red Cross, that's when we pinched the chickens.
When you got a Red Cross parcel, was it shared out amongst the 10 of you?
No, we got one each.
One each by now.
Aye.
Things in the parcels that you probably didn't like, did you barter with them?
Yes. Oh, you could always barter with your chocolate, you know, swap it for bread or soap. They couldn't get soap.
Cigarettes, were they in the parcels?
No, they were sent separate. See, now and again you would get. And there was a local shop in the village that was like a kind of off-license and general dealers. And we used to go up there on a Saturday night and get a couple of crates of this beer. There was only the two kinds, and it was in little bottles, light and dark. Now, the dark beer, it was sweetened with saccharin. And, of course, the light beer, they were... You could drink the whole crate and it didn't chip you off. There must have been very little alcohol in it. And that brightened out Saturday night, so, you know.
And when you went up to the shop, were you escorted in by the guard? Or
no, we used to go up on our own. And one day I was up the shop getting something, and a German policeman came in. And I went out, and the woman said, "Why'd you go out?" I said, because you could speak a little bit German by then. I said, well, a policeman came in. She says, "This is my shop. You stay in here even if Adolf Hitler comes in." I was surprised, isn't it?
What did you use to purchase the beer oil? You didn't have money?
Yes, we got money there on the farm.
And was this camp money?
Camp money, and they just accepted that.
Accepted that.
Yes. And there was another little pub we used to go to, and the chap in that pub, he'd been a prisoner of the Russians in the First War, and he'd had a hell of a time, and he had a bit of sympathy for us, and he would give us a free drink, warm the beer up for us and that, see? Well, life on the farm wasn't too bad. And I remember they were saying, we've seen you, you were a film star, weren't you? We've seen you in the cowboy films. Oh, yes, yeah, I'm in the cowboy films. Well, they believed that because I was always a bit of an artist, you know, and I had cowboys and I'd drawn on the walls of this little where the cowman used to sleep with the cows. And we decorated the drawings of Scotsmen playing the bagpipes and sailors dancing the hornpipe and all sorts. Just these drawings round with the cranes and did his house up. And where we lived, did that up. Cab badges all round the walls, drawn round.
Did you have a senior NCO in charge of your group? I mean, British
no,
NCO?
No. There was just ten blokes. Ten chaps on this farm. All scattered out all over the place. And as I say, we decorated this place with cowboys and the thought of cowboys. Anyway, one time we were going to plough a field, and this Polish lad, about 16, they ride horses up there. Well, I'd never been on a horse, see? And I thought, they must think I'm some cowboy here, getting a lad about 9-year-old having to bump us up onto a horse. Anyway, we rode out to the field, just steady, and they ploughed this field. And it was all manual. There was two of us, two chaps, the mate of mine, and I think there was another chap, and three of us hand-scythed the field with the hand-scythe, you know. And the women were just tying them in tufts. And then when it rained, a light shower of rain, you go out and you turn the tufts again. But you had to do the whole field by hand. Potato fields were just the same. You dug it up with a hand fork sort of thing. But that was really, they had a small field near the farm, and the Polish girl working in the farm kitchen, when she wanted potatoes, she used to just go out and dig some up. And we got fed in the farm. And we used to go out digging peat. It was a peat fire. We used to go out and cook peat and bring it in. And then we used to go out, this was dangerous. We used to go out clearing land, cutting pine trees down. And what their method of cutting them down was, you dig round the tree, a trench round, and you cut through the branches.
Through the roots?
Through the branches, that's right. And then when there was only the taproot leaving, and it was hellish dangerous there. You didn't know which way the tree was going to fall or anything. It was a dangerous pastime, but, well, it wasn't a pastime, it was what they were doing. But
were there any accidents amongst you whilst you were working?
No, funny enough, not really. More by good luck than management. And I remember one time there was a horse, and they were going to geld this horse, see? Because we used to see cows being born and everything, we used to help with that. And this horse, a German vet came out to geld this horse. gone a bit over its time. And that horse just pined away after that. Just must have broke its heart. Just pined away and died, that horse. And we used to go down when the cows, get them into the byre when the cows were there, and had to be standing up. And if a cow was lying down, they just used to pour some water in its ear to get it up. And then the chap would come down, one of these chaps who was sort of temporary vet round about the farm, you know, he wasn't registered or anything, put his hand in, get a hold of the cow's front feet, rope a loop round, and you had to, you held back, and you all pulled up with a rope, and it just all suddenly plopped on the ground.
The calves.
The calf, aye.
It must have been a lot healthier work. Was your health improving whilst...
Oh, yes, it was a good interlude, being
you
on the...
You weren't as hungry as you'd been.
No, no, we had plenty to eat there. And that...
And your relationships with the people you were working for were good, were they?
Oh, yes, fairly good. Well, you sort of knew them. But, funny enough, there, that was Prussia. We didn't realise it at the time, but in Prussia, or Germany proper, Poles had to wear a pea on their clothes. It was just like a small diamond with a pea in the middle, purple pea. And that was had to be worn. And even on their trousers, they had to wear it. And various other Jews, they had to wear the star, on the Jewish star on their clothes and all that. People from the Ukraine had to wear a big blue badge on here with the name Ost on it. And various things like that. So, it was all right, and it was starting to get onto the winter in the farm. And of course, the Poles were trying to tell us about the Russian front. Letters they were getting from their relatives that were called up into the German army, see, because they didn't bother who you were, they were in you went, sort of thing, about the bitter cold in the on the Russian front. And we had to come back, let's see now, to back to this stalag. And it was a stalag that had been there since the First War. It was very basic habitation. The huts we were put into, the roofs were level with the ground, and you had to go down underneath. And the bottom was mud, you know, just hardened mud, the bottom. And the rats were running about at night. It was terrible accommodation. And outside the door was a big water butt, and that was your toilet. You had to just climb onto this water butt and they were down. And chaps used to, I don't know whether worker or punishment, but they used to carry these water butts down to the river bank, a